Welcome to the Post Game Plan. I'm your host, Ali Samani, and this is the career development home for all current as well as former professional athletes. We're really excited today. We have a special guest. His name is Kevin Fleming. He's played for the famed Oak Hill Academy, where a number of professional athletes have merged out of, and also went on to play at San Jose State University, that's professional basketball, and played again in Germany, as well as played for the national team in Ecuador. Played for a number of countries throughout his career in Italy, Spain, and a number of Latin American countries as well. We're really excited to have him. He's currently an entrepreneur working on a number of venture projects himself. Kevin, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you, Ali. It's always nice to speak with you today. You know, I really enjoy you giving me a call.
No problem. Pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thanks for taking out the time to speak with our audience. Now, I know you've had a very interesting experience. I mean, you've played professionally, and I guess the experience doesn't really limit you to, you know, we really talk about the major four sports, whether it's the NFL, the NHL, the MLB, and NBA, but there are so many athletes that play collegiate sports and then go on to play in other countries like Europe and a number of other countries. So did you kind of have the hopes of playing in the NBA when you were in college? I guess that's an obvious question, right?
I wouldn't say it's obvious, because there's actually some guys that really intend to just play basketball and earn a scholarship, and at some point they're more realistic than others, and they realize that they're probably slim to none to get into the NBA. But I still have that aspiration and ambition to chase my dream and make the NBA, yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's definitely something I wanted to do since I was a child.
And I mean, the market for, I guess, professional American athletes in Europe, in China, in Asia, across the world, it has grown drastically, and it's much more lucrative now for athletes to go abroad. So I guess going abroad was a good choice as well.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a great opportunity for me. I actually had an uncle who played professionally in Europe. His name is Matt Fleming.
Okay.
And he also went to San Jose State, and you know, when he played, there wasn't much of an opportunity. By the time I came around, you know, two decades later, I really had an opportunity to capitalize on, you know, some of my ability. But you know, realistically, my goal was just to make sure that I could be a consistent professional at that level.
Absolutely,
and make that team.
So, I mean, you played in our pre-interview, you mentioned that you played professionally for 3 years abroad. When do you think you started to think about life after the game, or was that something that was consistently in the back of your mind?
It's definitely consistently in the back of my mind of what to do, prepare for. In my opinion, as being a good athlete, you kind of have to know where you're going and a direction that you choose, and you kind of have to put together a list of goals to accomplish what you're looking and you're seeking out to find. And for me, that was making sure that at one point I could just say to myself, you know what, I've played this game for so long, and what I really want to do is get a check, and someone say, you know what, we're going to pay you because you're good enough to represent our team and our league. And you know, that's you know, I was fortunate enough in my career to have that opportunity.
Absolutely.
And get paid.
Absolutely. So, I mean, did you think about, like, what opportunities you would probably pursue beyond the game?
Going into it, I was naive.
Right.
You know, being a 22-year-old, the only thing you think about is, you know, what am I going to get myself into, and what is the experience going to be like?
Right.
And I better train as hard as I can so that I don't walk in there and look like a doofus and fall over my feet.
Right.
I was fortunate enough to have a background in my family of business developers and people who are business owners. And one thing that they implicitly tried to ingrain in my head was to make sure that I build relationships with the owners, other teammates on the team. You know, maybe I could talk to their agents and then expand my career, give it some longevity. So there was thought. But just before I left, and it wasn't because of me, it was because of someone else's advice.
Wow. Okay, so let's just backtrack on that. Obviously, there was a strong influence of your family. I think it was your father you mentioned?
Yeah, my father is a business owner, as well as a couple other guys in my family.
So they had a profound impact on you, suggesting that you should definitely network while you're there, meet the owners, meet the influencers that are really watching the games, that are really involved in the games. So is that something that you would suggest other athletes as they're going through their professional life, whether it's abroad or within they're playing within domestically in North America?
Absolutely. That's something I actually suggest on a regular basis. Yeah. Anytime I come into contact with a player, I'm always telling them, hey, you never know who you're going to meet. And so be open to opportunities and be open to good conversations with people and make sure that you use your temporary notoriety as an athlete to accelerate your career once you finish playing. And if you haven't finished playing and you think you're going to have a long career, make sure you build those strategic alliances so that you can extend playing time for multiple years, having that influence over other teams looking at you and saying, you know what, that's a great guy and we'd love to have him. So if you get released, maybe another team looks to pick you up because of your character, your conversations with them, when you're in your travels or, at an away game, that sort of thing. Especially in college, even in college you can do that here in North America. The university I went to, we have an athletic director who's ranked in the top 25 most prolific sports figures in the state of California, which is a large state.
Wow.
His name is Tom Bowen, and great guy. And he has partnerships, in the NFL and the NBA and the MLB. And, someone like that, if you can utilize that as a student athlete, you can understand that you could manage your career and really, in fact, propel your career if you're really putting in the work and you're showing them that you're willing to be a professional athlete. And understand what that professionalism is, and then from there, depending on the conversations you have, you could see where you could go from there.
So, I mean, just for our audience's sake, I mean, so many individuals after our interviews ask me, you definitely talk about the main factors and the criteria that is required in becoming successful beyond the game. But how about the technique? What does someone do if they want to network? How do they approach somebody? Is it necessary to have a subject to talk about, or can you just go up to them, introduce yourself, talk about your current state, and say that you are very ambitious and interested in prospects and opportunities after the game? Is that something that you could do?
From my perspective, there are multiple ways that you could approach it. Just being naive and ignorant, you could just kind of go up to somebody and ask them a question, say,
right.
I played for such and such, the X team, and I don't know where to go, what I'm looking to do. Could you give me advice?
Right.
And I think that in itself will show that you're a person of character, looking to learn. You're eager to change the dynamic of your situation. And then there's other ways, some guys, when I was in college, I had a cousin who was really into tech, and I lived in the Silicon Valley. So there's always things that are popping up, and I had Facebook when it was only in certain colleges. I was able to hack in with my cousin, and we got on Twitter's beta back in when Twitter popped up in 2006, and I started utilizing that and contacting people. And it really is a tool, of Twitter. I think Twitter. If you understand how to utilize the service, the platform, you can really develop some alliances. And there are other ways too. It's just talking to your teammates, seeing what they're doing, and being conscientious of your situation, and knowing, okay, that doesn't work. That guy obviously doesn't understand how to have a conversation. That guy, I like the example that he sets. He's getting good grades. People are already talking to him about other opportunities. I should do that, and then also should get in the gym and own my skill set.
Wow. Okay. This is really I'm really liking the advice here, because it's so important to have the specific strategies and tactics laid out for our audience members to really take advantage of. Because networking is kind of such an elusive type of concept that we don't really get an opportunity to talk about the key strategies and tactics that you can go about doing it. And it sounds so artificial, but in reality, it's just being yourself, just having a curious and intriguing type of mindset. that allows you to go out and say, hey, you know what, I am ignorant, and I really don't know about what opportunities exist. Can you tell me what you're working on? Can you tell me what projects you're working on? And even if that conversation you feel is potentially just a one-way conversation, in essence, you're allowing that person to tell their story, so it's really beneficial. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. I think that's something you need to do. I think if you're facing a wall, you should talk it out. I think yes. I think you should really verbalize things that are going on inside your brain. I think writing things down is also a great thing to do, especially if you're preparing to have a conversation with somebody. When you write some bullet points down, it's almost like setting a goal, right. And you can kind of follow a timeline to understand how to approach things. And the more you speak, the more you talk out loud about it, the better you're going to be able to articulate what you need, not what you want, and you can kind of go after it once you've done that. I had an example. One of my uncles, who's actually a CIO, he always used to explain to me that you need to have a pro and you need to have a con, and you need to list those things down on a piece of paper. And once you do that, you'll be able to understand whether or not it's a good idea for you to really chase that endeavor. Or kind of pencil it out and say, okay, I need to restart, rethink, and brainstorm on another idea.
Yes. Let's fast forward to, I mean, not today, but I guess right after you retired from the game and you decided, you know what, this is going to be my last year, or, you know, I'm probably coming down to the last couple of, months of my career in terms of a professional athlete playing in Europe. What were your first couple of thoughts and opportunities that came about that you said, okay, I'm going to go in this direction, and this is what I like to do, this is what I'm going to follow?
It's pretty hard. When I came back from overseas, I really thought that I could still play. So that was my first inclination that, you know, maybe I'm not really thinking straight correctly.
Right.
But I thought, you know, I'll go work out the D-League and I'll play for the Bakersfield Jam. And I'd spoken with them, and I thought, okay, this will be a good fit, and maybe I'll get exposure. And maybe somebody will like my jump shot in the NBA, and they'll say he's consistent, and I'll play. That was my first thought, and then I decided to become a little more realistic and say, all right, it's a 0.04% chance you're going to make the NBA. There's 340 spots, you know. So what do I do? Where do I go? And how do I get there? And so I started writing down a list, and I thought, these are the things that I like to do. These are things for instance, growing up in the Silicon Valley, I enjoyed technology. So I wrote down a bunch of different opportunities, and I went on Craigslist, and I went on LinkedIn, and I checked out what opportunities were available for someone with my college background in athletics, as well as being a student, so academia. And I started to write a list down, and then I started checking them off of what worked best for me, trait-wise and personality-wise, and what didn't. And I started to filter it out. And that's kind of where I started to realize that I really wanted to be somewhere in the field of technology, whether that be on the finance side or the innovation side. And inevitably, after going through that for over a year and taking a financial job for about a year as a financial advisor, I realized that I could do a lot more than just manage somebody's money. What I could do is develop a system or a way to better utilize an individual's cash flow, a better way to develop products. So I sat down and went to the drawing board and really tried to put together some solid ideas. And, today, I'm trying to figure it out, but I'm building up products and trying to create a situation that will keep me in the game of sport, but it'll also allow me to share what I've learned in the financial world with athletes and help them develop a clear-cut idea of what's going to allow them to have a longevity in terms of lifestyle after they've retired.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you're currently working on a number of projects, entrepreneurial projects that – you know, are both involved in the game of sport as well as involved in your passions of technology and finance and empowering athletes. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Yes,
that's
correct.
That's fantastic. So, I mean, your progression through professional sports is not something that's unique. There's so many individuals that decide to go play abroad, now more so than ever. And it's important that they have the resources, because I think that, you know, even though the resources are not as robust as, you know, one would like them to be, they're probably much more robust here domestically than they are abroad. So in abroad, you really don't have any support systems or career development, player development type of departments, do you?
Say that again. And in Europe?
Yeah, in Europe. I mean,
yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely not. No, yeah. I think you're on your own. I mean, for instance, I lived in a city in Ecuador,
right?
Over 75,000 people, and about two or three of them spoke broken English.
Wow!
So I was pretty much in the Andes Mountains, in the middle of nowhere, fending for myself, trying to figure out and understand how to survive and how to create something for myself that would really be productive and give me something that I truly desire. You know, and we go back and forth. I used to talk to the general manager there, and he likes my cell phone because they didn't have cell phones were in that city that I lived in that were as modern as the smartphone I owned. And so he tried to barter with me and buy it. So, you know, it's an experience. And what I got out of that was a bond with the general manager. And what I tried to do was figure out what he needed to make his city be successful, and how I could help him influence the people in the environment. And I was lucky enough to take a risk. But there is no support in terms of career development, except for there are few countries where they'll have, like say, for instance, Australia. If you're a solid player, and each – it's kind of different, but in Australia, for example, each team at the end of the year will give – it's just like a middle school in America, an MVP award. Hey, you're the MVP of the team. And what that actually garners you is an opportunity to get a local endorsement from a small company.
Okay.
And that's great. I think that really shows and it helps develop guys' minds to say, okay, this is a business and this is an opportunity for me to get more money, almost like a passive income while I get this endorsement deal while I'm playing basketball.
Wow.
But it's a rarity.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is –
it's something needed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just listening to your story, I'm just thinking, like, this is such a necessary type of space, and I'm so happy that we do get an opportunity to speak to athletes like yourself, because it's important to get the great success stories that are out there, as well as the key strategies and tactics that one could use if they're abroad, whether it's leveraging the power of the internet. I mean, if you are In a foreign country and you don't really have a support system, it's so important to leverage the power of the internet beyond just, you know, regular socializing. There's so many tools that you could use, such as LinkedIn, such as Twitter, such as Facebook, beyond just socializing, to connect with people, to connect with professionals, and to really leverage the space that you're in currently as a professional athlete to make yourself more successful.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that's... it's something guys need to really take in. I think technology needs to be associated with an athlete. I think they should really take the time. And guys are doing it. You can see the guys in the NBA that are really starting to use Twitter and Facebook pages so that people can like them as an athlete. I think Twitter's actually better because it's more direct. And there's an interaction that the consumer can really, really feel like they're being a part or are a part of that player's life.
Right.
Versus Facebook, where people... there's a like, and then you have to go to a page, and it's kind of filtered. It's not a floating thread, a floating newsfeed, versus Twitter, where it's a floating newsfeed, and you can kind of see other commentary and really get a live feedback. And I think that's really great. The guys in the NBA that are really doing that, and the guys, I mean, in all four major sports, are really utilizing Twitter.
Exactly. Go ahead. All right. Sure. I mean, this has been a fantastic interview, first of all. I mean, you've dropped so many little pieces of wisdom as well as pieces of knowledge that individuals can take forward and like take action with, because that's so important. You need to be able to take action with the advice that you get on, obviously, the post-game plan as well as from, you know, the individuals that you meet. Now, you shared quite a bit with us. Towards the end of each show, we have a pay it forward type of moment where our athlete gets an opportunity to speak with, you know, all of our listeners and gives them maybe one or two bits of advice that they think would be really valuable that they could take action with, that they've learned throughout their career. If there's something that they could change, then they would have done that. But what are those one or two pieces of advice that you think, you know, could really make an impact on somebody and you would suggest that they follow through on?
Gosh, I think don't take no for an answer, is number one. Always, as an athlete, you believe, that you're going to make it. You have a dream, you have a goal, and you work your tail off to get there. So why wouldn't you do that in business?
Right.
Why wouldn't you just say, you know what, I'm going to take the time and figure it out. So what I would say is, don't take no for an answer. And really do your due diligence. Really be diligent about the process of understanding the concept of what you're getting into. And really put some time in and some thought into making sure it's a fit for your ability and something that will give you a sustainability over a long period of time.
Wow, absolutely fantastic advice. Thank you so much, Kevin. This has been a great interview. I really appreciate your time, and we definitely look forward to staying in touch with you and hearing about your success story as you progress along your career, my man.
Thanks so much. Thanks for giving me the call, and you know, good luck with your book. I think it's going to be fantastic, and it should really, everybody should really take the time to get an experience from all these athletes that you've spoken to over this these past couple months.
Thank you so much. Once again, Kevin Fleming. Kevin, where can my listeners find you?
Online, you can Twitter? Find me at Twitter on at Irish Springs, or you can find me on Facebook, Kevin Fleming.
All right, this has been the Post Game Plan. I am your host, Ali Samani. You guys can find me on Twitter at ALYSOMA. And it's been a fantastic show. Kevin, thank you once again, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.